from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
All right, you guys are going to have to bear with me today, and by you guys, I mean James. Two reasons. One, it's Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Bottom of my day of the week. Power rankings, but that doesn't mean the vibes can't be up. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. They're the sponsor. I am annoyed today, but I'm also a little distracted because we've got U.S. Women's National Team playing in the knockout round of the Olympics against Germany. The second half just started, and it's 0-0. Spoiler alert. Although I think anybody who's tapping in is probably tapped in right now. I don't think there's probably that many people who are super interested in the women's national team who are not watching.
Oh, yeah. This is spectacular.
Really good soccer happening on the pitch in France. If you're not tapped into that, we will be tapped into that, and we will be giving updates. So if you don't want updates, we'll alert, be like, hey, update coming, and then we'll let you know so you can turn the radio or the computer down momentarily. But aside from that, whatever the 49ers are doing with Brandon Ayuk, they've turned this into a clown show. I'm not, you guys know me, James, you know me. I'm not the fire everybody type of guy, and I'm not there with this. But I'm not the super overreactionary, everything is everybody's fault. Like, there's usually some blame to go around, there's usually a little more nuance to what's going on. The 49ers, though, their front office and the way they've gone about this Brandon Ayuk stuff, it's a joke. If any other team had this happening, if the Arizona Cardinals had a wide receiver who was just an all-pro, and then on August 5th, we're like, yeah, we're going to trade him. Like, what? That we would be clowning them. That is a joke.
Yes.
You cannot let a negotiation get to this point. I am floored that a front office that has been this successful has let this reach the point that the 49ers are now looking to trade and have the framework for trades in place to trade an all-pro receiver 3 weeks into training camp.
Is this all just part of the game, or if we got to the point where it's real? I mean, that's a question that I keep coming to. Like, it feels like you have a guy who's trying to negotiate with nobody. Like, there's no one out there negotiating with him.
Right.
And so at what point, why did you wait this long then? Why didn't you do something a month ago when you could have got somebody in your camp,
right,
had them start building some rapport with your quarterback, all that? Like, why are you doing it now? There was plenty of time to do this. And so that's what leads me to believe that maybe this is just a bunch of hooey again. Maybe it's just the next version of, like, negotiation.
Yeah, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe this is all the stuff that typically happens pre-draft, right? We heard Deebo Samuel was going to go to the Jets, like right up until the Jets were picking in that year's draft. Deebo was going to get traded. He had requested a trade, and that's what was going to happen. He was going to go to the Jets. We're going to get the 10th pick, and then that didn't happen. It was all posturing. And maybe you're right. Maybe that's what's happening now. It's just at a different spot of the calendar because Brandon Ayuk's trade request came in on July 16th. And maybe that's what this is. This is all the normal stuff. It's just happening in this confined space and this very public space of training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Maybe the 49ers, and this is what I believe has happened. The 49ers have an offer on the table for X amount of dollars. Brandon Ayuk says, I'm not going to play for less than Y amount of dollars. And those two numbers are different. And the 49ers have said, we've negotiated. We're at our max, dude. This is it. This is no longer our max in the negotiation sense. We're not going a penny more than what we've given you here. Here's the deal. Figure it out. Take it or leave it. I think that's what's happened from the negotiation standpoint. And the failure of the 49ers front office here is that they didn't foresee the wide receiver market going this direction. If they knew that the receiver market was going to get up to $28, $30 million a year for a wide receiver of Ayuk's caliber, then they should have known they weren't ready to pay that, and they should have traded him before the draft. Or during the draft, I should say.
Yeah, but you know, Kyle, this kind of feels like what you're saying, it kind of feels like, you know, when Cabbage Patch Kids are like the most popular thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's running to the store. Sure. And they're lining up and they're fighting over Cabbage Patch Kids,
which
right?
is a thing that happened.
It's fully a thing that happened. People were fighting over Cabbage Patches every single time they got released. This feels like somebody showing up on Christmas Eve and walking into their local like Toys R Us and saying, "Hey, do you have any Cabbage Patch Kids? Like my kid really wants one for Christmas."
Mm-hmm.
It's like, bro, people have been fighting over them for 6 months. No, there are no Cabbage Patch Kids.
No, we don't just have them hiding in the back.
What are you doing? That's what it feels like. It feels like you had all of this opportunity to go get in on the mix, and it's their fault they got priced out of the market. It's no one else's fault.
That's it.
Like, you drafted a guy, he became good, you knew he was good.
Mm-hmm.
You could have worked out a deal with him last year. You could have worked out a deal with him at any point here.
Yep.
Now you get to this situation here where you allowed every other wide receiver outside of CeeDee Lamb, which who knows what's going on with CeeDee Lamb.
TBD.
To go get their money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like three guys. It's like 12 top-end wide receivers.
So many wide receivers got paid.
All of them. All of the wide receivers. Even they went back in and cracked into the Cheetahs contract and gave him more money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
A.J. Brown got additional money. Devontae Smith also with the Eagles got paid. Jaylen Waddle, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And the 49ers know these guys have deals coming up. This wasn't a secret.
No.
And that's what's baffling to me. You have to understand that the market is going to go this direction. It's going to go north.
Yep.
And apparently, from what I understand, had the 49ers presented whatever offer they have on the table now, had they presented this in March, Ayuk was signing it.
Yeah.
And this was going to be done. But no, because they're trying to squeeze every last penny out of every single player, you got to wait and you got to delay. Oh, this guy got paid. Oh, now this guy got paid. Now this guy got paid. Now you're hosed. And now you're sitting here in this stalemate where you're going to either the negotiation tactic or the break in case of emergency button of, all right, fine, we'll just trade him. And the reporting from last night, so a couple of reports came down last night in case you guys missed it.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Maiocco from NBC Sports, friend of the program, reported that the 49ers have trade frameworks in place with the Patriots and the Browns. That means that they have called the Patriots and said, hey, we want X, Y, and Z for Brandon Ayuk. They negotiated that trade and they said, okay, this trade is ready. They called the Browns. They said the same thing. They have a deal in place. That puts the ball in Brandon Ayuk's court. And that's been the phrase du jour, is the ball is in Brandon Ayuk's court. And it's up to him now to negotiate a deal with those teams and decide whether he wants to play there.
Mm.
And that's where I think some of this is a negotiation tactic by the 49ers, because they originally gave him permission, according to Maiocco, they originally gave him permission to negotiate with four teams. It was the Browns, the Patriots, the Commanders, and the Steelers. He wanted to go to the Commanders and the Steelers. The 49ers magically have a deal worked out with the two teams that are not the Commanders and Steelers.
Mm.
So they're telling him, yeah, hey, go get your money. Go enjoy Cleveland. Go enjoy New England. Go be part of that rebuild. Have fun. They'll pay you a lot of money. And I don't think Ayuk is necessarily wanting to do that because he has said he wants to play for the 49ers or the Steelers or the Commanders. So maybe the 49ers are trying to squeeze more out of the Steelers.
Mm.
Maybe they're trying to squeeze more out of the Commanders. But there's no indication that those two teams are involved, at least at this point.
Yeah, this has gotten to a weird point. It's just like...
It got even weirder this morning.
Yeah.
Because now Adam Schefter is reporting that the 49ers, who were not taking calls on Brandon Ayuk, they said, you can negotiate with these four teams and that's it. They're now saying, hey, open for business. Who wants him? And Ayuk, this is why this is messy. Because you have so many things at play. The 49ers aren't going to give away Brandon Ayuk. Nope. So step one, they have to find a team that's willing to give them a deal that is acceptable for an all-pro wide receiver. The 49ers in this return need to feel like they still have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year and perhaps over the next couple of years.
Yep.
Step two is Brandon Ayuk has to want to go there. He has a de facto no trade clause now because the Jaguars aren't going to say, yeah, we'll give you a first round pick and player X for Ayuk and we'll get him here and hope he signs. Like, no, they're not making that deal unless he's signing that long-term contract. So that needs to be hammered out and done. And Ayuk needs to sign off and say, yes, I will go play there. And this really difficult trade needs to happen because it's not just picks. The Niners are very likely going to require a player. And if it is picks, it's going to be like two firsts, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't see this ending anytime soon, whether this is a negotiation tactic or not. Like this is messy. Some of it is on Ayuk to an extent because he could conceivably end this today and sign a deal. But I don't blame him for thinking there's more money out there for him and for wanting to go get more money.
Yeah.
And for trying to extract more money from the 49ers. This is largely the fault of the San Francisco 49ers for letting this reach this point that when we should be looking forward to Saturday's preseason opener and discussing what the roster looks like and discussing how Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel have looked in camp, now instead we're talking about trade partners for Brandon Ayuk.
Well, that's the problem. It's like, are you a championship contender or are you a team that gets lost in the weeds in training camp, which is exactly what they're doing. If you don't think this hurts the 49ers as a team and hurts their opportunity to win a Super Bowl, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You're taking away like one of the giant training wheels from your young quarterback that you're trying to develop.
Yep.
It's so bizarre.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense that it's gotten to this point. And that it's so contentious. Like, why is this so contentious all of a sudden? And why haven't they just sat down, got to the table, and seen if they can work something out? And if they couldn't a month ago, then just go ahead and hit the button then. Like, to do it this late just seems so weird and silly that we're watching a team that's supposed to, like, get away from distractions. That's
right.
Supposed to be so laser-focused on the task at hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you're getting. And so, I don't know what to say here other than, like this has become a trend with the 49ers, and this time it might bite them.
Yeah. Yeah. To the point that maybe they stop doing business this way.
Wow.
Tim Kawakami was on 95.7 The Game this morning with the morning roast with Bonte and Chasky. And he made a great point, and this is kind of what I was saying earlier. Good teams don't do this, man. This is not a good team thing to do. The Chiefs, we talked about these yesterday with Andy Reid. The Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
They said, this is our best receiver, but we believe that the better roster building move is letting him walk, or I'm sorry, trading him, and then reaping the benefits of the return in that trade.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the 49ers are doing here. This is not savvy team build where they're getting off a player early or getting off a player that they think they can replace. They don't think they can replace Brandon Ayuk. They know they can't. They want to pay him. They want to keep him. That's why they didn't trade him at the draft. They don't want to get rid. But at the same time, they don't want to pay him the extra million or two a year that he's wanting.
There has to be something that we're missing when it comes to the grand scheme of what they're doing here. There has to be such a wide divide on guaranteed money or on something.
I would agree.
There has to be something that we're not seeing. And that's where, like, okay, you have to figure these things out, but it's also why you don't wait and wait and wait. Because you start to give the power from one side to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening. This is a transition of power.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, again, like Ayuk can sit out until midway through the season.
Yeah, basically.
And you can trade him then. It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to sign. So your trade value is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and get a 6th-round pick for me midway through the season.
Yeah,
good luck
with
that.
Mm-hmm.
And Niner fans are going to be angry at him. They're going to be angry at the franchise. But at the end of the day, this is not what a winning franchise should be doing. They shouldn't be toiling in the weeds in training camp with contracts. And they do it time and time again. And if you don't think it hurt them last year, I don't know what to tell you. The first 10 weeks of the season, Bosa looked like half the player he was before.
Yep. Yeah.
All right.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that they let it reach this point. Maybe something works out. It feels real DeForest Buckner-y to me.
Yeah.
Where, and it's not apples to apples because the timing is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But they looked at the DeForest Buckner situation, they negotiated with him, and they went, and again, they traded him pre-draft. And they said, he's a defensive tackle that wants X amount of dollars. We don't believe that maximum value is giving him that money. We think there's more value in trading him for a first-round pick, drafting Javon Kinlaw, signing Eric Armstead to a long-term deal, re-signing Jimmy Ward, and we think that's overall going to make us a better team. That was their philosophy with that. It's hard to argue because they went to 3 NFC title games and a Super Bowl in the 4 years after trading DeForest Buckner.
Yeah.
But they have been unable to replace DeForest Buckner. Yeah. Javon Kinlaw was a massive failure for whatever reason, not him as a player. The pick did not work out with San Francisco.
No.
That's why they had to throw a bunch of money at Javon Hargrave to try and replace DeForest Buckner, who they wouldn't throw money at.
Years before. Yes.
And now I think they're looking at this the same way. They're looking at Brandon Ayuk and they're saying, and this is something Drew Down just brought up in the chat, and I think it's correct. They're looking at this and they're going, we don't want to, if we pay Brandon Ayuk, we can pay Brandon Ayuk. But if we do that, we're losing Deebo Samuel. We're probably losing George Kittle a year earlier than we want to. It probably means not re-signing Tre'Varius Ward and or D'Amador Lenore. Dre Greenlaw is a free agent next year. Talanoa Hufanga is a free agent next year. Aaron Banks, their left guard, who's been really good, he's a free agent next year. I think they're looking at that money that Brandon Ayuk wants. They're looking at the Brock Purdy contract, who is eligible for an extension after week 18 of this year. Week 18 ends, Brock Purdy is extension eligible, and he is going to get $1 bajillion, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I believe it's $1 bajillion.
It's like 2 Brinks trucks, not one.
Wow. Yeah. I hadn't seen that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So multiple Brinks trucks now are in the equation.
Tandem Brinks trucks.
So they're looking at this and they're going, hey, we think that Ricky Pearsall and Jawan Jennings can be a close enough facsimile to Brandon Ayuk, but without paying Ayuk, we can keep Deebo now. Oh, and now we have the money to re-sign Tre'Varius Ward and or D'Amador Lenore. And we have a little more flexibility with what Brock Purdy is gonna get because maybe Dak Prescott goes and signs for like $65 million. And that ups, so it just gives them a little more wiggle room where they're not going through this with Brock Purdy, their quarterback, next offseason. And I think that's kind of the calculus they're looking at. They're going, hey, the DeForest Buckner thing, and maybe they're not thinking about Buckner directly, but this philosophy of don't pay one player because it means we can pay 3 players.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that'll overall make us a better team. I get it. I understand the logic.
Yep.
But given how hard of a time they've had replacing DeForest Buckner, I can't believe that they're just willing to go down that path again, going, yeah, Ricky Pearsall and Juwan Jennings can do it. Yeah, it'll be fine. I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like the idea of getting rid of good player, thinking that you can just replace good player
easily. I don't either, especially when you have a guy who wants to be there, a guy who you drafted and you brought up, who has learned the ropes, who is excelled, he's found his niche, and who his age arc matches that of your quarterback. Like, at some point, you gotta build for the future with your quarterback, with who is going to be here. And I get it's gonna hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. But like, look, there's some of these guys are specialty players. Like, Ayuk is a guy that can do what he's doing for a long time. The style of wide receiver he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a guy who takes a big hit.
Mm-mm.
He's not. He is the perfect wide receiver for your system. And I get you want Debo and the trick plays and stuff, but it seems like for years teams around the league have been drafting and trying to use like third down backs to do that same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
You might not have to pay that guy $23 million or $24 million, whatever it is. So at the end of the day, I'm just kind of bummed out that this is like that they're risking everything in this situation. And I get it, you know, they have to worry about their long-term financial situation. But I also, like, I don't understand the timing and the way that they've handled their business throughout.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of what this all comes down to for me. If you knew that there was a point with Brandon Ayuk where you weren't, where the lack of anticipation, I guess, is what bothers me. Because you can't see the future. You can't be sitting there in the middle of April going, hey, Ayuk is going to want $30 million a year and X amount guaranteed, and he's not going to budge off of it. But at the same time, if you, a little foresight, looking at, oh man, all these receivers got deals coming up, including Justin Jefferson. He's going to reset the market. I don't know, man. That they didn't trade him before the draft or during the draft led me to believe that they knew, okay, rock solid, he's here, we're here, there's a number in between, and that'll be fine. But that they're at their puke point already where they're going, nope, we're done. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah. Like it. And the list of players that you've brought up, like the Browns offer allegedly is something like Amari Cooper and a pick. That's fine. Like, Amari Cooper's okay. Like, he's not a great wide receiver.
He's fine. And he's not, I don't want this to be, Amari Cooper is a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But he's also 30.
Yeah.
And he's also on the final year of his contract.
Yeah, so.
He just restructured a one-year deal with the Browns.
This isn't a long-term solution, and maybe it buys you a year for Pearsall.
Sure.
Or maybe it doesn't. But either way, you lost huge amounts of value taking a one-year rental of Cooper and a second-round pick.
Yeah, maybe a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cooper in a first? Okay. I see the vision. If it's Amari Cooper in a first-round pick, I see the vision. But still, there's no realistic trade they're going to make. The Patriots. The offer being floated around from the Patriots is Matthew Judon, the defensive end, who played 4 games last year because of torn biceps, by the way. And Kendrick Bourne, former undrafted receiver with the 49ers, who's coming off a torn ACL.
And who's not great,
who's
either way.
Who's a fourth receiver on this team.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, Kendrick Bourne's a nice little player, but he's not. They let him walk for a reason.
Yeah.
You're not getting close to the production you were getting from Brandon Ayuk with Kendrick Bourne. And then like, a second-round pick. Cool, man. There's just, he isn't. Again, he's not Justin Jefferson. He might not. He's not Tyreek Hill. He might not even be AJ Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But well, he hasn't been AJ Brown. AJ Brown's really freaking good. But he's trending that way. You just said it. He's on the same age arc as the rest of your core.
Yeah,
that's what should matter. Monty McNair talked about it with the Kings. We know what core we're going into camp with. These are our dudes. We have these dudes. If somebody calls and wants to make some crazy offer for Trey Lyles and Kevin Herter, great, cool. But we know that it's Domantas Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Keegan Murray. That's the core dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Bosa, Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk, Fred Warner. Those are your core dudes for the next 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Everything else to me, everything else aside from that, you can figure out. All of a sudden, if it is the cornerback stuff, all of a sudden you want to pay corners? After prioritizing a defensive line for so long, all of a sudden you're going to pay? There's not like another up-and-coming defensive lineman you're going to have to pay.
Yeah, it's not like you have a... I mean, even your offensive lineman, the one offensive lineman that's coming up, Banks, it's not like you're going to pay him. You're just going to find somebody else.
Right. You're very likely going to let him walk.
Yeah, and you're going to be searching for the next Brandon Ayuk, which you probably did not draft with Ricky Pearsall.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, like, not to bash on a kid who's going through his first training camp, but I don't think he's going to get to Brandon Ayuk status.
I'd be very surprised if he did.
Yeah.
I think he can be a good player. I don't think he's ever going to be an all pro.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's
you got one.
The point here.
And he's 26.
Right. You did it. You did the thing. And you know, in 3 years, like, George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams are either not going to be on the team or they're going to be way less effective where you're looking for additional weapons.
Yeah.
So maybe Brandon Ayuk is a quote-unquote dime-a-dozen type of receiver. Maybe the Niners do see Ricky Pearsall, or maybe they're looking at next year's draft and saying, hey, there's six guys that we think we can bring in that can be productive. Sure, man.
But you can't waste a year of Trent Williams. You can't waste a year of George Kittle. You can't waste a year of McCaffrey.
So we talked about yesterday. You're trying to compete for this year and then also like be cute about the next 3 years. Like, dog, you guys haven't won anything.
Yeah.
You've not won a Super Bowl. And you're worried about the next 3 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Go host a Lombardi first.
Yeah.
Like, that.
Get the trophy and then go from there.
That's it, dude.
Yeah.
And if you're trading Brandon Ayuk this year, there's not a realistic trade package that you're going to get in return that raises your odds of winning that Super Bowl. There's just not.
No.
There's not. All right. We're giving away River Cats tickets today.
We are.
Before we get a break, I want to let everybody know. We're getting a suite. ESPN 1320 is at Sutter Health Park on Friday, August 16th. We'll be out there. And we're inviting you. You can win at ESPN1320.com. You'll see a contest page. But at that contest page, you're going to have to enter a keyword, which we will give you coming up in a couple of minutes. Again, you just go to ESPN1320.com, find that contest page, and you can win two tickets to the River Cats game on Friday, August 16th. Those tickets will be to the ESPN 1320 suite. We'll hang out, we'll eat food, we'll drink drinks, and we'll watch some good baseball out at Sutter Health Park. Quick update. In the Olympics, U.S. Women's National Team Soccer, turn your radio or computer down for 30 seconds if you don't want spoilers. 3, 2, and 1. Spoiler alert! U.S. Women's National Team spoiler alert coming. 71st minute, we have 0-0 still.
0-0 against Germany.
Although it looks like I've not been able to watch, obviously, because we've been doing a show, but it feels like they've spent a lot of time in the U.S. attacking third.
U.S. had a perfect opportunity where and just missed.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I think that's happened a couple times.
Yeah, the keeper was out and everything. Like, she got around the keeper and a defender. There are two defenders, but like a well-placed cross into the back corner would have been a goal, and she hit the side of the net instead. So, Tough. So not great. Went short side.
All right. We'll keep talking about Brandon Ayuk, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll talk about there's a chance he stays. We'll talk about those options. There's a chance he stays without a contract. We can dive into that. Lauri Markkanen, speaking of which, we have some breaking Lauri Markkanen news and a FIBA NBA crossover league. Sounds like that's in the works as well. We'll talk about it. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors a program on ESPN 1320. It's Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, did you hear that little Kitchen Mart jingle?
Oh, yeah.
No one does it better than Kitchen Mart.
There it is.
That was great. Bring back jingles.
I agree.
Like, seriously, there were so many, like, little jingles from like, childhood.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a really, like, I will remember Kitchen Mart forever. Because if no one does it better than Kitchen Mart. There's a grocery chain. I don't know if it's in Sacramento. And I don't want to say it because looking. What the heck? You ever heard of Food Max? You guys have Food Max out
here?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Food Max. Take it to the max. Like, that's just it. I'm going to remember that forever.
Okay.
McDonald's. Love to see you smile. Like, that's just.
All right.
Yes.
I remember the old Taco Bell. Taco Bell, ding, ding.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
The first Taco Bell ad campaign I remember was the Yo Quiero Taco Bell dog.
Oh, yeah.
And they had little stuffies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had
the Chihuahua.
Yeah,
Chihuahua.
Yeah. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. The world's number one Niner hater, TC, is on the phone. TC, what's up?
God, that's how you do me.
Go on. Prove me wrong.
Now listen, you know I'm a diehard, bro, but I'm always consistently in the mode that you in this today, bro, as far as the clown show. And I'm glad that you see what's going on right now with how they're handling business and how a lot of people, James, you also, a lot of this fan base that don't want to see this part. Yes, that refuses to see this part. The clown show that they have done and that they are doing, and still like, oh, they're doing nothing wrong. Turn your eyes and everything's going to be okay. Like you said, Kyle, they haven't won anything. How Kyle and John and this organization, the media, and a lot of this fan base moved around, it's like we won the last three Super Bowls, bro. We haven't won anything, but we run around here acting like we won everything and we're playing with people's money and all of this. It makes no sense, dog. So I'm with you, Kyle. I just want to call and say that. I'm not going to get too much in the weeds, but I'm glad that people are starting to realize.
Appreciate you, TC. Thanks for the call. That's the thing is, I don't, and that's why I said, for me, you have to under, for me to get to the point where I'm being very critical of what the 49ers are doing.
Yeah.
I've had gripes with little things they've done here and there, for sure. They are not a perfect organization by any means. But a lot of what they've done, it's been like, man, I don't agree with it, but it's kind of hard to argue with the success. And I know they haven't won a title, which is for people like TC. If you haven't won a championship, then you've been wrong in everything to this point. And I mean, I guess if that's the thought process, that's true. But for the most part, I think there's a lot of teams who would kill to have the stability of the 49ers and the success of 49ers have had over the last five or so years.
And the talent they still have.
Yeah. Yeah. They've,
you know,
go ahead.
They're so incredibly talented at almost every position that you're just sitting there like, you can do that, but you can't leave a gaping hole. And again, if you're not going to bolster the offensive line because you have to keep your specialty players,
mm-hmm.
then keep your specialty players.
Like, seems pretty straightforward.
It does. It does seem pretty straightforward. And don't keep the ones that are aging out. Like, that's fine. I mean, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, NFL players become expensive and they age out,
mm-hmm.
and their last couple of years, it gets tough. And you're like, okay, look, I don't think we're getting the value for the productivity, you know, injury stack up, everything else. But that's just not where we're at with Ayuk. And
mm-hmm.
it just, to me, it seems like it's just such a missed opportunity.
Yeah, man. I'm there's just no way, like I said, there have been things I've had gripes with, but when I see people spinning it the positive way, I'm like, okay, I see it.
Yeah.
Like I don't necessarily agree, but I get where you're gonna go spin zone. There's no spin zone here.
No.
There's no outcome here. Save for the 49ers trading for like AJ Brown or Justin Jefferson, which again, not going to happen. There's no realistic outcome where you can go, wow, you know what? The Niners crushed it.
Yeah.
They've lost. Unless they wind up re-signing Ayuk. In which case, great, they did it. But
Kyle, it reminds me like it's the reverse of the Malik Monk situation. The Kings had X amount of dollars that they could give Malik Monk. They could not give him $1 over that. That's
right,
it.
Right.
They couldn't. It
like
by league rule.
League mandate. Yes.
League rule. They cannot give him more money than $17.4 million in a four-year $79 million deal. And he looked around and said, okay, I want to be part of what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not only am I going to sign it, but I'm going to sign it early and get it out of the way so you guys can go out and do the rest of your work. But the Niners and Ayuk, both sides, they just kind of like, they wasted all the time. They didn't, like, all they had to do is sit down at a table, work it out, and move mm-hmm. forward. And, or don't move forward and understand that you're not going to move forward and understand mm-hmm. that it's time to go make a trade.
They committed to this when they didn't trade him before the draft.
Yeah.
They committed to re-signing him. Even if that meant, hey, you know what? All right, we're gonna have to eat it elsewhere.
Yeah,
hey, we're gonna have to pay this guy. You just have to know that internally. You can't let it get to the point that you're talking trade and you're talking, oh, we can negotiate with this team and that team. Oh, now we're taking calls. Oh, hey, now we got the framework of a deal with the Browns and the Patriots, and it's like, oh my God, dude, this was also avoidable.
Yeah,
and that's why it's annoying. If this was April. And Ayuk said, I want nothing less than $35 million a year and $150 million guaranteed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the Niners went, hey, we're not doing that. We'll trade you to somewhere that will. Okay. Don't love it, but okay. I kind of see it. That would have been the version of a deal that I would have not liked. But I can see why and where. Now I don't see why or where. I don't.
Yeah.
This doesn't track to me. So
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to see it all, how it all
I'm
ends
not.
Up. I want to see how it all
ends
up. I am
0% intrigued by any of this. I'm pissed is what I am.
You can be pissed. I want to see how it all ends.
Joke.
I want to see how it all ends.
Joke. All right. Let's put a pin in the Brandon Ayuk stuff briefly. We're giving away tickets to the Rivercats game Friday, August 16th. But these aren't just any old tickets. We've got a suite. James and I are going to be there hanging out. You can pull up. with your two tickets. They get you into the suite. You can be indoors. You can sit outside. They've got seating outside the suite. You watch some baseball, eat some good food, drink some good drinks. We're going to have a great time. And you can win tickets now at ESPN1320.com. You'll see the contest page. You're going to go to that contest page and enter the keyword. Here's the keyword, everybody. The keyword to win Rivercats tickets to the ESPN 1320 suite at Sutter Health Park on Friday, August 16th. The keyword is Giants. Giants, as in the Sacramento Rivercats are the AAA affiliate of the San Francisco Giants.
Like Little Giants, the movie.
As in the 49ers should have done a trade with the New York Giants. That didn't work out. I said that backwards. I should have said the 49ers should have tried to, and it doesn't matter. Giants is the keyword at ESPN1320.com. Enter now to win two tickets to the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th. It's an ESPN 1320 suite night. Come hang out in the suite with us. Other news of contract, well, I guess not contracts not being signed, a contract being signed. I want to pour one out, James.
Okay.
It's a sad day. RIP to Lauri Markkanen trade rumors.
Oh.
It was a really great run, but it's all over, folks. Reporting today from The Athletic that Lauri Markkanen is planning not only to sign an extension with the Utah Jazz, he is planning to sign it tomorrow. That's on August 7th, which ensures that... which ensures that he will not be traded this season. He legally, if he signs his contract on August 7th, cannot be dealt in the 2024-2025 season.
Yeah, this has kind of been like the reporting over the last week that this is probably what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, it's disappointing for people who are out there who want Lauri Markkanen on their team. But I also, like, I want to see what the end looks like here, what the contract extension looks like. They're probably going to do what they did with the Kings did with Sabonis, where they renegotiate and then extend him. And they're going to do that right now. And then because of NBA rules, if you're signing an extension, you have to wait 6 months before you can trade a player. Mm-hmm. Today is 6 months from the trade deadline. Tomorrow is one day past the trade deadline, so you wouldn't be able to trade him. I'm intrigued. I want to see what the money is. And like, look, we always talk about this with players, and you know, you start to fall in love with a specific player, but his contract, how much you love him at 18, 19 million with the potential to sign him for like a $30 or $35 million extension,
mm-hmm.
and how much you love him at 40 plus million that goes up to 50. I mean, maybe that's a different type of like commitment that you would want to give to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a sad day because we've lived in a world where there was potential for Lauri Markkanen trades for the last 2 years. and now they're probably not.
They're done. They're all done. We had a great run.
We did.
Do you think the Kings were ever close?
Yeah, I think like there was at least, you know, if anyone is close, but I think the problem that you have is that no one ever really knows what Danny Ainge is doing and what his true design is for his team. Mm-hmm. And like, we can think that they were close. The reporting can be that, you know, they were the closest, but I also believe that Danny Ainge was never going to trade him.
If they had any inkling he was going to re-sign, and particularly do so on August 7th, like there's no incentive to trade him.
No.
It's a little bit, we've been talking about Ayuk. It's a little bit why the 49ers are requiring kind of a King's ransom for him in return. Because they have him under contract.
Mm-hmm.
It hoses him if he decides not to play. Because he just comes back next year in the same spot. And that's kind of the ultimate leverage the 49ers have here.
Well, that, and they can franchise tag him. If you're traded, they can franchise tag him.
So we'll get into that later. I want to stick on the Lauri Markkanen stuff. But it's that's kind of the same deal as the Jazz were going, yeah, we think we're going to sign this guy to an extension, but yeah, sure, if you want to give us four picks and three pick swaps and two good young players, like, yeah, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll just do that. So I'm kind of bummed. I was having a really great time watching all the Lauri Markkanen reporting that was just the same reporting over and over again.
Again, just like different spin. Yeah, and I think the biggest problem, the biggest bummer for this is that Lauri Markkanen at 7 foot tall with his ability to shoot and move, Like, he would have been a really nice fit next to Sabonis.
Yeah.
Defensively, probably would have been an issue, but offensively, I think he would have been a good fit.
So, I'm interested in the Jazz now. Mm. Because now it feels like they've kind of picked a direction.
Yeah.
And that was... So, they're a weird team because, remember, two seasons ago, the 22-23 season.
Mm-hmm.
22-23? Yeah. The 22-23 season, they were in the mix for the play-in and then just kind of pulled the plug over the final 25 games or so.
Yeah.
And stopped playing guys. And we had Sarah Todd before the season opener, Kings Jazz, last year. And we said, is the expectation that they're gonna make a run? And she was like, yeah. They pulled the plug last year to try and tank. And now they're kind of ready to go. And then they wound up in the same spot where, okay, you like Keontae George and you like Lauri Markkanen, obviously. Mm-hmm. And okay, John Collins, kind of an interesting player. Colin Sexton's there. They got Jordan Clarkson. They didn't make a lot of sense as a roster. But now if you're committing big money to Lauri Markkanen, I think you're just kind of picking a direction now. This is the guy we're building around. He's 26?
27.
27?
Yeah, 27.
It's okay. Like the timeline starts now. And yeah. I'm interested to see if now is Colin Sexton available. Is Jordan Clarkson going to be available? I don't think they're going to trade Keontae George. He looks like a good young player, but I'm interested to see what the Jazz are going to start doing now that they know they have Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, I'm also intrigued because all of a sudden we're starting to hear that they might be a dark horse for Brandon Ingram. And
maybe
Walker Kessler makes sense going to
New Orleans,
New Orleans. And you could probably do like a John Collins, Walker Kessler to match salary, bring in Brandon Ingram. And all of a sudden, Danny Ainge has done it again. He's rebuilt his team on the fly. And all of a sudden, he's got super, super talented front line of Markkanen and Ingram who take turns missing 20 games a year. But are really good when they're healthy.
Would that move the needle for you with the Pelicans if that happened? If they got John Collins and Walker Kessler?
Sure.
I think I'd feel better. I think I'd feel better about them if I'm a Pelicans fan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I think that front court
at this point they really have a huge issue in the front court.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't have a center at all. So
one of the other things with this Lauri Markkanen stuff, and I think I missed one of these messages, but I think this is what Ramsey's getting at in the chatty house. youtube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to hang out with us in the chatty house. Highly recommend doing that. Because I don't want to lump you into this. I have been critical of Monty McNair and the whole like patience thing. Mm-hmm. Like waiting for the perfect move. And it's like, dude, if you're always waiting for a bigger boat, you might wind up without a boat, you know, like that's kind of,
yeah.
But at the same time, I will give him a ton of credit for not panicking and going, we need Lauri Markkanen right now. Yeah, fine. Here's Keegan Murray and 3 picks. Here, let's just go get Lauri.
Yeah.
Because I think that was kind of what the Jazz were hoping a team would do. Even Golden State was big in the Jazz talks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Jazz were hoping they were going to be like, yeah, hey, here's Kuminga and Moody and Pajemski and all the post-Steph picks. Here you go. You just have them. We need Lauri now. I do think if we're going to, again, I don't want to say we, if I'm going to sit here and say that I think Monty McNair is too patient at times or too conservative at times, I'll give him credit for not hitting the panic button to go get Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, because the panic button there would have been costly. I mean, you're talking 3 first-round picks, maybe four first-round picks. You're talking pick swaps. You're talking the potential for Keegan Murray, like, as part of some sort of combination. Like, that's the only way to get him. That's what it feels like.
A massive overpay.
Yeah, even, like, when you hear, oh, well, they were close. It's like, well, what does close mean? Does that mean 4 first-round picks and 2 pick swaps or something?
Right.
Including the 2031, which you already pick swapped, so
yeah.
It's not a great first-round pick anymore, but...
Well, it's the move we talked about yesterday. So they go and get DeMar DeRozan. That was I'm going to call that the path. They were standing at the start of a trail, and there were 6 or 7 different paths they could have gone down,
yes.
However many. And they went the DeMar DeRozan path. That's where we're going. And now there's going to be different things and choices they have to make along that path, but that's the route they're going. That's where they push their team. And I said yesterday, I thought they would have to make one more like seismic move to get into the championship contender category. And again, that's discounting that maybe Keegan Murray takes a leap and is an all-NBA guy, or Malik Monk takes another leap, or De'Aaron becomes an MVP, or whatever. And I think the realistic world, I think they got to make one more move. That Lauri Markkanen trade would have been it.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have been just it. Like, this is your team. This is the team you're trying to contend with. And I like Lauri Markkanen a lot. I don't think if the Kings had done that, that massive, you know, Keegan Murray plus a bunch of picks, nobody's looking at the Kings and going, oh, they're winning a title. Like, that's a title contender. I'd be looking at them and I'm going, oh, well, the defense. Because apparently that's just the go-to.
No, I agree. Like, you're still waiting for that one other move if they are going to become a true contender.
Yeah.
Right? I think right now that they are definitely a top 5-6 team in the West. They can be a top, they can be a top 3 team. They can be a top. So when I say top 5-6, I mean between 1 and 6.
I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah. I think they're a playoff team too. Yes. I think things can go wrong and they can be a play-in team.
Can happen to every team.
Yeah. But I also think that there's a very good chance they're a playoff team, mm-hmm. right? But if you want to be considered like a contender,
mm-hmm.
like there's more that has to be done, and you're operating in a window.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're operating the 2 to 3 year window of DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's where we keep coming back to this conversation. It's like, yeah, the one move, you know, you want to be patient. You want to get the right move.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you know that there has to be one.
Yeah, the size of the move, and this is where again, I talked about Monty McNair's patience. The size of the move will be dependent on, I think, what happens this year. DeMar DeRozan's fit and what DeMar DeRozan looks like at 35. Malik Monk with, and frankly, all of the Kings and how they work with DeMar DeRozan. But the continued growth of Keegan Murray, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that will determine, do the Kings need to make this monster move where they're trading one of those core guys to go get a better player at a different spot? Or is it something a little more minor? And that's I think, what we'll figure out. It certainly, I don't think there was a world where it was ever going to be Lauri Markkanen.
No, I think that there was. they tried. Point. I mean, they gave it the old college try to go out and get Lauri Markkanen. But at the end of the day, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so many players that fit your roster and like what you're trying to do, and like sometimes they're just not available.
Yeah.
And I think that's again what's made Brandon Ingram so appealing, is that he is available.
Mm-hmm.
It's what makes Kyle Kuzma so appealing, is that he may or may not be available for the right price, but his contract is
right.
Certainly stunning.
So
like all of these pieces of like imperfect players that may fit perfect with you.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, we're not going to see that. It doesn't feel like.
Yeah, no, I'm right there. The Monty McNair said it. The core group of guys that they have is the one they're going into camp with.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be some moves on the margins, but I don't think any major moves are happening for the Kings. Leezy, you're on the Insiders. What's up, dude?
Yo, Colin Hamm, am I on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's up, guys? I'm used to being called Don. Hey.
My bad, dog.
Yo, it's all good. Hey, man. I just want to call in and talk about Monty McNair and the Kings offseason. Hey, you know, I agree with everyone. I like DeRozan a lot. I think he's the safest pick Monty could have made, obviously because of his money, because of his experience and all that stuff. I think DeRozan is great. But Monty, he's been linked to so many players, Siakam, Kuzma, LaVine, Lauri, all these players, and he never closed out on the big fish. Like I was saying, I think DeRozan is a safe pick, but I don't think he was the best pick for the Kings. And also, like, yeah, DeRozan is great, but why couldn't we get Caruso as well? It's not like the Thunder offered, like, anything great for Caruso. I feel like that's another thing we missed out on. So I think Keith's offseason went good, but I think it could have went better as well.
Thanks, Lizzie. Appreciate you. I actually don't think they could have made a better offer than the Thunder did.
I agree with you.
I know that Josh Giddey got a weird case and stuff, and I know that he wasn't good in the playoffs. But Josh Giddey is if you're the Bulls and you're looking to get a young player in the building who is a playmaker and has room to grow, I think Josh Giddey is probably the best player that they were going to get player for player with Alex Caruso.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this kind of looks, again, it looks like the PJ Washington trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you didn't have Grant Williams in a first-round pick to give up.
Yep.
So you're not going to get him. And like, there are trades that I want to, you know, light the Kings up for. But then there are other trades where you're like, hey, look, you tell me the path. Where's the path to get that player?
Mm-hmm.
And the value that that team gave up. Like, yeah. Like, there's a certain amount of value that, that PJ Washington had for the Dallas Mavericks versus the Kings. And mm-hmm. the Kings didn't have that same exact need and sort of value proposition that
yeah.
that they had.
I think I disagree with the Monty McNair big fish thing. I don't know that what it would have taken to acquire Brandon Ingram would have been a better move for Sacramento than DeRozan. And we just talked about Markkanen. I don't think Markkanen was actually ever realistically available.
No, I don't think he was.
Except for a massive overpay. And now you have the Pelicans, who don't even want to sign Brandon Ingram to a max extension, and he's been there.
Yep.
They don't want to sign him to a max deal. And they didn't trade him, probably because there was no team out there who was willing to sign him to a max deal. So they wanted the world for what was basically going to be a rental.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand the sentiment, but I also don't I don't have any major beef with anything the Kings didn't do this offseason.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we may find out down the road what it was that some of these players were going to cost,
mm-hmm.
and like these deals may come back around, mm-hmm. right? We don't know at this point, but for me, it's like you want them to swing, but it's got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you can't just, you know, put your franchise in a really, really awkward, like destructive, like position long term.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a wild turn of events here. France is up 76-66 over Team Canada in basketball with a minute left.
Were they down?
Evan Fournier just hit a three to sort of put this game away. And it looks like France is going to knock off.
Was Canada leading?
No.
Oh, okay.
But Canada.
That's nuts, dude.
Canada was a favorite.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Dang.
So France is currently, they bench Rudy Gobert in this mm-hmm. game to go quicker and went with Wembanyama and Nick Batum on the front line. And I don't even think Gobert has played. Oh, no, Gobert has played, but not very much.
That's wild, man.
Dylan Brooks talked all that trash.
And gone.
1 of 9 from the field, 0 of 3 from three.
Yikes, man.
Good for you, Dylan Brooks.
Tough scene, yeah. Canada's got a lot of NBA players on it.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray got a little exposed.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray might...
Our guy Trey Lyles, I was hoping he would medal.
And I know, I think you could ask him about it.
I think this takes him out of medal, right? Yeah, because this is to get down to the final four teams. Yeah.
Bummer. Mm. All right. We got to go to break. Hey, if you're on the phone, hang in there. I promise we'll get to you on the other side of the break. Your call's next on Brandon Ayuk, the Kings offseason. We're talking about it all today on The Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.